Welcome to the podcast for empathy and imagination. This is the show in which we empathize with, reflect upon, converse and chuckle about, imagine, explore, debate, and ponder sundry topics and possible future directions with you, each other, and everyone in the universe. Thanks for joining us.
I am Drew Clark.
I am Aubrey. This is episode 12.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for being here.
We're back. All right. What do we got?
We got some stuff, man.
Got some stuff. Let's Let's do
Garden Update.
Garden Update. You want to go first or want me to go first? I'll go first. So I think I mentioned last week I just started the garden. Did I mention that?
Check the files.
Yeah. Well, I started a garden, and it's pretty cool. Got some mint going. Just recently, I bought some seeds, and I planted some squash, some tomatoes,
and fuck yeah,
some peppers, and something else. I can't remember. But it's funny, because we have these two planter boxes. Nothing's really growing in them yet. Kale isn't growing in one of them, but the cats are shitting in them. Not my cat. My cat's the best. But the other cats, the outdoor cats, the neighbor's outdoor cats, are shitting in the planter boxes. But very specifically, like today I looked and there's one kale stalk coming out of the planter. And right at the base is just a big mound of beige cat poop. Like they're trying to diss the garden. The cats are trying to, you know, send me a message.
You know, when it's more full of plants, when that planter's like gushing over on all walls, those cats won't have room to poop in there anymore.
Yeah, they just like it because it's dirt, you know. They say that cats like to shit in sand because they came from the land of Egypt.
I've heard that.
So they're pretty slow, huh? They haven't learned a lot.
Well, you know, they're learning maybe a different thing, you know. Yeah. Maybe they're learning agility as we continue the whole brain quest.
Or they're learning how to be better parasites. I mean, you
know. Depends on the perspective, right?
Yeah. You know, symbiotes.
Yes.
Symbiotes?
Yeah. Symbiotes.
Dogs, cats, living together. Mass hysteria.
So your garden, anything else?
Well, I've encouraged pretty much the other people in the apartment, in the unit that I'm in. Excuse me. In the apartment complex that I'm in. And they, you know, they've been kind of semi-interested in the yard for a while. But once you really start to do major changes to the yard, then they get more inspired to help and contribute.
Yeah, it's like leading by example, sort of.
Yeah. They see you working and they're like, oh, yeah, you know what? It would be cool to have a garden going.
I had the great fortune of helping you a little bit.
That's right. That was fun.
Yeah. It was cool. Just getting it organized, getting it looking good, getting it ready.
It's weird how it's like easier to help someone else clean up or do something than it is to do it just by yourself.
Yeah. It's like it was easier for me to help you set up your garden than it was for me to pull weeds in my garden.
Yeah. Or like cleaning someone's house or room or car.
Yeah, because I mean, you care less or something? Like, what is that? Why is that?
Yeah, I don't know. You care less about your own, you mean?
Yeah, like maybe you are less emotionally involved in your friend's car wash, so you're just like, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. So, I think that's it. I think that's my garden update. Planted some stuff, and I'm really just at the beginning of the whole garden experience here.
Nice.
So, we can look forward to many more garden updates on my end.
Nice.
How about your garden? I'm looking at it right now.
Garden here. We are in Richmond. My garden here at the apartment. We as I mentioned before, we have a bunch of new plants planted, and almost all of them survived. I often find that when replanting, there's like a small percentage of drop off. Just some some bits here and there don't seem to make it. But most of it, we're having a good, like pretty good go, are very excellent, cool, smart, funny, handy man, Jaime, was weed whacking the weed forest that was building around the garden, and in his great deed, ended up murdering a few of the baby plants that were next to the edge of the garden. So there's a couple of losses by weed by way of weed whacker this week, and that had some sadness.
Hmm. Death by weed whacker.
There was a charred plant, a volunteer bright red baby charred plant that was hacked into dust. And one of my corn plants was also miserably shredded down to bits. So we'll see if they come back. You know, it's like a maybe on that. I've been eating a bunch of the flowers lately. That's been nice.
Yeah, I had a few of those.
Yeah, spicy sweet kind of thing.
Pretty good. What about all the snails?
So there's like infinity snails. And I tested putting a couple snails in some garlic in a jar for a while, but they didn't seem interested, so I let them go.
Is that a solution?
No, I'm thinking of harvesting them and eating them, but there's steps you need to take.
Oh, I see. I thought, okay.
I heard, well, we did a little research.
You just like pulled them right out of the shell and then dipped them in garlic?
No, I took their living bodies and put them in a jar with garlic in it for them to eat.
Oh, so they would absorb the garlic flavor?
Right, but it turns out I didn't do enough research and there was more steps involved, so I let them go.
Hmm.
So I'd like to find a way to sustainably harvest and eat them, yes. That's the best case scenario, I think.
Find something that they eat that they don't damage. There's something.
They damage everything they eat.
Or something that you wouldn't, that's not edible by humans. But
yeah, maybe if I can make a little...
And then automate it.
Uh-huh, like a little kind of aquarium, but for snails. And I fill it with things that people don't eat, and then they eat it, and then we eat the snails.
Yeah, totally. Terrarium.
Yeah, terrarium, that's it.
So cool. Anything else in the garden?
There was some major rains and some stuff fell over, but it's like really pretty looking. A lot of it's getting bigger. Oh, out of the compost, there's this massive squash plant growing from the depths, and it has three very large new buds of squash underneath these big canopy leaves. It's like getting some nutrients
over
there.
It's just growing by itself?
It just volunteered out of the compost and is now growing crazy food.
Huh.
And that's my garden update.
Nice. Thank you.
Garden update.
Do we have a gradient update?
You know, we do. It's been an interesting day today, actually. Okay. I've spent all day working on my project.
Just to remind listeners, Gradient is your beer bar project.
Yes.
That you are hoping to open a beer, craft beer bar.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's correct. In the East Bay.
In
somewhere.
The East Bay of California.
California. East Bay area.
Which is in the United States.
Yes.
Okay.
On Earth.
Cool. Northern Hemisphere?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. That was for our intergalactic listeners. So gradient update. What's going on with that?
You know, it's been a lot. It's...
You just took a phone call.
I actually just got off the phone. Yeah, I just got off the phone with my partner.
This is as fresh as it gets, people.
This is fresh, man. This is real. So, actually, we were going to start it a few minutes earlier, but the phone rang. And we learned that this space in El Cerrito we've been working on, we just learned that the front half of it was just leased to somebody else.
Hmm. That sounds like a game breaker.
Especially since we've spent the last month waiting, trying to find an answer about if we need to install a hydraulic grease trap or if we can get an exemption because it won't be producing grease, which just getting an answer has been like climbing a mountain.
So while you're waiting for this answer...
And working on it all the time.
That upon which your decisions depend, someone else came in and rented part of the building.
Yes.
And that's all perfectly legal, right? Because the guy can just...
Of course.
Is that true?
That's completely legal.
Because he's not the one that you're waiting for an answer for.
No,
the
I was
property owner. You're just waiting for the city, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was waiting for the East Bay Mud and Stige Group to find a solution to the truth, whatever that was for them. Hmm. And since there's so many different parties and so much top-heavy bureaucracy, it's like my experience of that world was about 80% waste.
Hmm.
And about...
Just the whole process.
The whole thing is about 80% waste.
Yeah.
And you get about 20% out of it.
Yeah. That's like Sturgeon's Law. 90% of everything is crap.
A good friend of ours, guest on the show, he came up with the whole 80-20 rule that I really enjoy.
Yeah, I've heard that before too, 80-20.
Maybe he didn't come up with it, but he brought it to me. Now we're sort of like instantly all these new questions now because this... What we've been working on for months now was just partially rented to somebody else. So maybe we could still get the back half and the patio and have a cheaper rent and have it be smaller, maybe. But that might not be what everyone wants.
Yeah. So is that what you want?
You know, I got to think about it. This game is crazy. It's a crazy game because...
It seems like you should give yourself a limit on how much you can think about it.
Yeah.
That you have to trust your gut at some point. Over wanting it to happen, you got to be like, well, is that really going to be a good decision?
Well, there's so many questionings of is this safe until you have so much bubble wrap, you can't even feel anything. And you're like, okay.
Do you just cut your losses and look for another place?
So maybe. Now the thing is there's some backup places we have had kind of in the wing thinking about this whole process. But then shit comes up, man. I would not be surprised if in 2 weeks the lease falls through available again. I would not be surprised.
Oh, I see, yeah.
That just keeps...
Or backup places, you know, find a... leaser.
That may happen, but those might fall through too. It's just, there's like negative expectation. It's more like you can't expect anything to be consistent in this process. It's just like whatever chaotic. The craziest chaotic thing is might happen, might not.
That seems like economics is chaotic.
Yeah. It's like, can you hang on?
It's like meteorology kind of, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's the human aspect, which is so hard to predict, human nature and all that stuff, you know? And then you have factions vying against each other, different interests. Some people have tight deadlines, others don't. It's such a mess. I can only imagine how much of a mess it is.
It's a mess. 80% waste is my experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we now are going to think about, okay, well, do we want the smaller space slash do we want to go somewhere else and how much more can we pursue that and so on and so on. So, I don't feel bad from this news. It doesn't seem like bad. I'm not sad. I'm like, I have this energetic feeling of like a little bit of surprise, but it just, I'm not that surprised.
Mm. I saw a place, I think it was yesterday. I think it was on San Pablo. I want to say like 1730. And I'm trying to think of where it was though. I can't think of what was around it. But
that'd be funny if it was 1730 because that's what the Shattuck address was.
Okay, it's probably not that, but maybe. Anyway, white building had like, you know, those really thick panes of glass, but they're small squares.
It's right near Gilman.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've checked it out years ago.
It's got a bike rack in front, like a little, you can make a patio in the front.
There's a parking lot.
There's another little area.
It's fine. Yeah. It's great. I checked it out years ago. You can't really get a hold of them. That's not really like available.
Okay. And that's what, story that, with, what does that mean, though?
That's the story with lots of places. Looking for places is the craziest, hardest part.
It's just dormant, and the owners are unresponsive.
Yes.
Huh.
That's also true about this really cool building that I really, really wanted to do it in years ago and still want to do it in now. Is this building that no matter how many times you offer them money or ask people working on the building or anything at all, they will never call you back. And that just means that there's some big conglomerate investor involved, and they're just waiting for the market to get bigger, and they can afford to do that as an investment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that the rent for this building is $2,200 a month, but I think that the company is expecting that this economic...
$2,200. That's it?
Yeah, that's it. And I think that they're expecting that this economic growth in the Bay Area is going to keep exploding and not have, in fact, a popping kind of sensation.
A bubble?
Yeah, that's the word. And then they're hoping they're going to get, like, just way tons of money for it. Either leasing or selling it. It doesn't matter.
Hmm.
So I bought, but it's like, why don't you just make money on it now, renting it to me, right? Make money both ends. But it's like, they don't have time for that.
Yeah. Have you tried that white building?
Yes.
Recently?
No. It's been a while since I've tried that white building.
But I was like, man, that's cool. That's like kind of neat looking.
Yeah. And it's like
bike racks already there.
There's already a patio. It's got, you can drive there. You could BART there, kind of.
Looks like a, almost looks like.
No, you couldn't BART church. There. It's really far from BART. That's right. But there's a ton of foot traffic because it's in the Gilman.
Yeah.
Those are my quotations of when I said the Gilman.
It's Gilman adjacent?
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. No, they're calling that the Gilman District now.
Oh, well, fucking excuse the fuck out of me.
Ooh.
What else?
Okay, so Gradient is been a lot of learning, and it's been interesting kind of rolling with the changes. And right now, I'm feeling like that there's a time limit coming up as to how long I could continue the shifting before something real starts happening.
Yeah.
And so that's there. But it's also like...
Your own time limit on your own.
Yes.
To save your mental state.
To save my mental state. To meet my needs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meet your mental, your sanity needs.
Yeah.
I mean, how long do you keep going?
You know, it's hard to quantify exactly because certain things could happen that may extend opportunities to continue spending a lot of energy on it. But if I have to go back to full-time labor for income, I can't really pursue grading at the same time. It just, there isn't time.
Right.
It's like a pretty serious part-time job, but it's really all over the place when you have to do it. So when you have to make the phone calls is when you're serving the burgers at the restaurant. That's like,
you
need to be available for stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that's the grading update. It sounds a little gloomy, but like, you know, hang in there.
Yeah.
Hang in there.
There are ups and downs on this ride, folks. Cool. Gradient update. Thank you.
You're welcome. I have other topics. Or I have other things to talk about.
Let's do it. Smash some topics.
Okay. Okay. So this is going to be posted while it's still true that my Kickstarter I just did is live on the internet.
Right.
I have, with Aubrey's help, created a Kickstarter that I feel very good about. I feel like I did kind of about the right amount of work on it. And it seems like if it succeeds, fucking great. And if it happens to not succeed, then it just frees me up from spending more energy on that. And I get to move on.
There's really no loss. Yeah. It's all a win.
Yeah, it's really just me trying stuff. We're going to add a link my Kickstarter on this page. So go ahead and scroll down and take a watch at Drew requests a TD30.
Yeah, take a look, take a listen, and if you're feeling generous and want to contribute to a good cause, you know, throw in a couple bucks.
It was really interesting making the video. I found myself doing it in a binge way. Like, I had some free time in between stuff for Gradient and other projects that I just woke up in the morning, made some breakfast, and then literally spent all day hunched over in the dark, clicking away at the computer, editing video. I did that for like 2.5 days straight. And it was very, very little planning. I like took out a piece of paper, put a couple of squares on it, filled like 6 of them out, and then just winged the rest of making the whole video. Like, I never wrote a storyline. I never made, all I ever did was made like 6 squares of what I wanted to see. And I was like, okay, that's what I needed. Oh,
like storyboard.
Yeah, storyboard. That's all I did.
Yeah. 6 frames, guys. 6 frames for a 7-minute video.
Yeah, that's what it was. 7-minute video. And it's a fun video. There's good jokes.
That's a labor of love.
Yes.
If you sit down and you just power it out and just do it, it's usually a labor of love.
Yeah. And that's what happened.
If there's no deadline, you know, there's no deadline.
I made my deadline. You're just doing it. I was like, I want to post it before my birthday. And then I was like, my birthday is coming up. I need to do this. Mm. And so I did.
I get like that too with creative projects. It's like, oh, wow, that's a good idea. I'll just do it right now. Yeah. Start to finish.
Yeah, right now.
Like t-shirts and stuff. T-shirt ideas. That's what I do. I was working on some t-shirt ideas last night, actually.
Oh, cool.
Nice, man. So I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing what happens with that.
Yeah.
Kickstarter.
Kickstarter. Thanks for listening.
I wish I had a drum sound effect.
Well, stand by perhaps, there, little
perhaps
Charlie.
Perhaps you do. Yeah. There you go. I have a little project of my own,
actually. Ooh, let's hear about it.
Well, I think I showed you a prototype of it.
I see a lot of cool stuff you make, man. This guy makes cool stuff all the time. You should check out his website.
It's not what I made in the toilet bowl. Yeah, so I have this project. It's called Atland. 2 words, Atland. And it's basically just writings and pictures that I enjoy and I think are enjoyable and entertaining.
What calls you to make this?
My love of language, reading, and art.
Why do you want to have it in a magazine/book format?
I like created objects that are tangible.
If you think for a moment, who might be your intended audience?
My intended audience is people like me and you.
And who? What are some of their attributes?
Well, they're wicked fucking smart. No. They enjoy reading. They value reading, language, imagination. Maybe they like comic books even, because the format is comic book sized. And, the idea was to have a kind of illustrations for each story. Yeah, I've always liked that. Even if it's just one panel right before the story starts, you just have a scene. It's like, oh, that's cool. Kind of sets a tone, you know. So the audience is, I guess, readers, comic book people who like language, people who like fiction, nonfiction, and maybe bibliophiles.
Do you think it's for people of all ages?
Because the created object is an important part of it.
Are there any ages that are below or above your audience?
No. Anyone could read it. It's not talking down to anyone.
Nice.
So the prototype I made was Atland issue 0.
Which I have a copy of.
And I put like one of my little poemy things in there. But the rest of it was just stories from writers that I like, basically pinched from other anthologies. And I didn't sell it, obviously, so it's kind of a tribute and a prototype. So I'm trying, I'm working on Atland issue 1, and I'd like it to kind of follow the same format. And it's not necessarily fiction or nonfiction or whatever. It's kind of, whatever is written well is
so it's about good writing.
It's fun to read. It's such a truth. If something's written well, you could be reading about something that you thought you would never be interested in and find yourself completely captivated. And so that's kind of a guiding principle. It's written well. It's engaging. Other than that, it doesn't matter what the genre, quote unquote, is, you know?
Would you want to make a bunch of prints?
Yeah, I mean,
make... Is that the plan in your project?
Yeah, like release it.
Nice.
Sell it as a, you know, couple bucks. A zine, magazine,
mm-hmm.
a literary journal, almost like a... It's comic-sized, comic book-sized, though.
Are you going to have an also Perfect an online back. Version or just paper?
Could do an online version, sure.
So you'd have both? I
mean, why not, you know?
Well, if you enjoy and are good at collecting literary arts, it seems like a good idea that people could learn to trust to turn to you to read something nice. They'd go like, you know, I feel like reading something good. You know, okay, yeah, just go to aubreycloutier.com. That's where I can check out the stuff that I like to read because he has my flavor and he knows good shit. It's just he puts it together so I don't have to look everywhere for it.
I want to read something that's vetted for quality and is engaging, entertaining, and interesting. Maybe something that I would never have brushed across in my travels.
Ooh, so it's like random in that way too.
Yeah, it's not. That's like, fun. It's not like just sci-fi or just literature or just nonfiction or just political.
It could be from any literary piece.
Yeah, all inclusive.
I could write something that might go in there.
You should.
I think
all
I
inclusive.
Will.
All inclusive. So yeah, we'll put a link on the website, and you know, this is basically my call for submissions, guys.
Nice.
If you feel like you have something that would fit, send along, you know?
How long are you hoping for of a piece per writer?
As long as a piece of string.
Mm.
Yeah.
Good one.
No, you know, no multi-volume sets.
No.
Probably more in the flash to novella range. If you know what I mean. There's flash fiction.
What if I don't know what you mean?
You know, there's short story, and there's like short stories, basically. And then novellas after short stories. So from the shortest to the semi-longest.
That makes sense. That's a good parameter.
I guess if you could also do the six-word novel or the six-word story.
Or a haiku, maybe?
Of course. Poems are welcome.
I have a good haiku.
Although poetry is so fucking hard that, you know, I almost want to discourage it, but I'm not going to. Because it's so hard and I don't feel like that much, that confident as an authority judging poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like I have maybe made up, I make up that I have some skill in reading prose.
Hmm. Well, you're putting it together.
The six word story was Hemingway's thing that he came up with. His 6-word story was for sale, baby shoes, never worn.
Huh.
So it's kind of cool because you make up the whole story around why this person is putting out this ad. You know,
it's like a reverse story. It's like you make up
exactly
the character. That's cool. I like that.
So yeah, anywhere from 6-word stories and haikus to novellas. Atland. We'll post a link. That's my project.
Do you have a timeline about when volume or what's it called?
Issue?
Issue 1. Yes. Thank you. When is issue 1 maybe coming out? We talking about the summer? We talking about the fall?
Summer would be cool. Depending on how many submissions I get. Okay. I mean, yeah. Fall. Let's say fall.
Okay, fall 2016.
Yeah.
Okay, so
when the leaves drop. Yeah.
Where we'll be releasing issue 1.
Yeah, so thanks for listening. And again, you know, submit what you got. Don't be afraid.
Will do.
There are no problems, only solutions. What are we? Oh, Nate. Final Corp.
Final Corp. I have thoughts on them.
Final Corp sent us so meager. They didn't even send us the whole thing. But they wanted us to promote Naze, their sports energy drink, Naze.
Have you guys had Naze yet? Oh,
it's great.
I love Naze.
Oh man, I love Nays. So their the tagline is Nays, rancidly sweet carbonated berry mayonnaise based sports drink. That sounds lovely. I'm speechless.
Yeah. What other flavors of Nays are available?
Let's see.
I'm pretty sure there's banana.
There's stripper.
Mm-hmm.
There's butterscotch root beer diapers.
Oh.
Apparently, according to this, according to them.
Wow. Okay.
According to this, what they sent
us. I was thinking
us.
About some other fruits, maybe, but then, yeah, okay, that's different.
Well, butterscotch, that's not a fruit, though, is it?
Closer.
Neither is it
than
butter.
Stripper.
Neither is it butter or scotch.
Stripper flavored Nays. Are we talking male, female, both?
I don't know. I don't know if they're talking about a paint stripper or a person stripper.
Okay.
Of course, that you know they have all their mayonnaise flavors are available as Nays flavors.
Mm-hmm.
It's just carbonated and kind of berry-ish. So the poison ivy is poison ivy flavored berry, like raspberry poison ivy.
Nays. It's my favorite to have a carbonated, slightly sweetened mayonnaise-based beverage. It's just like it's not only it's refreshing, but it's also filling and mm-hmm. has that nice kind of kind of feeling. You
it's
know?
Like drinking. It's like drinking a refreshing fruit sandwich.
Yeah.
Or like a fruit salad.
Choose yes.
With mayonnaise in it. You know, it's like pasta salad, but with berries instead of pasta. So like a bunch of berries rolling around in a bunch of mayonnaise. Just, I mean, doesn't that just sound
hey,
delightful?
Hey, what do you do when you're skateboarding? I drink Nays.
Nays, man. It's the best.
When I'm out mountain biking all day long, you know what I like to do? I like to pull my backpack open and reach in and get banana flavored Nays. So mayonnaise-y, so fruity, carbonated.
I love how I can just pull off the wide mouth tab and get a nice refreshing burst of carbonated raspberry mayonnaise. I tell you, when I'm pulling kick turn after kick turn, I need something to keep me going. Nays. It lets me just go crazy and be myself. Okay, thanks, Final Corp, for all your quote-unquote hard work.
Final Corp.
It'll be fine.
Final Corp. It'll be fine.
They're not lying. It will be fine.
It'll be fine.
You had a topic? Did you say you had a topic?
There's something with music. Oh, my album coming out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, talk about that.
Let's talk about that.
Nilotep is Drew Clark, Evan Jenks, Chris Whitlock.
Yeah.
And you guys have been recording, quote-unquote, acoustic metal EP for quite some time now.
Yeah, Nidal Labs in Oakland.
That's the recording studio?
Mm-hmm. Run by Philip Hache. Yeah, Nidal Labs is this recording.
What is it? Nito?
Nidal. Like Nidal, like of the night labs. Oh, huh. Nidal Labs.
N-I-G-H-T-A-L?
You know, I'm not the strongest speller in the room. Oh, okay. And I'm not,
like,
I don't remember.
Night, like.
Like the, at PM.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
So.
Go ahead.
Nidal Labs and Phil or Invisarium used to be in Nilotep. Actually, he was on the main album, SPQR, because he wrote a good bit of it and lived with us in San Jose for years.
Huh.
We all lived together, and briefly, all of us lived together, but mostly it was just the three. It was Evan, Phil, and myself. That's how we got shit done. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If you live together, you can really get stuff done.
Yep. That's like music college.
Yep. So now Phil has a cool studio in Oakland with like nice equipment, ISO rooms, low ceilings, but it's nice.
Hmm.
And works very well. And we just finished recording our upcoming 3-song acoustic black metal EP called The Conflict is the Illusion.
Huh.
So
all conflicts are usually illusions.
Yeah. And so that's what we're calling our EP. And there's, it's going to be a 3-songer. And then there's going to be all, we also have a bonus track, which you participated in. It's going to be kind of released in a different way. We have a, we're going to make a video and stuff.
Like turned down to zero volume?
No.
And put out a silent track?
Yes, it'll be a silent track.
Cool, man.
So
how much? Pretty low cost?
You know,
does he know him? Or
kind of. I mean, it was somewhat of a low cost. It was
lower cost.
The total, you know, all put together, because this is a good thing to know and share, I think. It's like, it was probably about $600 or $800, somewhere in there.
It's not bad.
That's not that bad for the kind of quality that we're getting. You know, it's pretty good.
That's, yeah.
And so it's all mixed in with MIDI and acoustic and a bunch of vocals. And it's all, I mean, it was a lot of work on the engineer end to put that all together.
Yeah, that's actually surprisingly cheap.
Yeah, so
I mean,
that,
compared to other things that I've done.
Right, so it's good deal, and it's going to sound really cool. It does sound cool. When it's not even mastered yet, it already sounds really cool. So I'm feeling really good about it.
Sweet.
And I'm excited to share with people and play some shows.
Yeah.
It was really fun writing this music. It really, it was different because we basically couldn't continue to keep rehearsal space. It just became economically and time-wise impossible to get all of us in the studio and pay for it in a row, and it just didn't work. So we're like, well, we have these acoustics, so let's keep rocking with these once a week. Let's just get together and see what happens. We'll write stuff, maybe transfer it over to electric later. Ends up, we wrote an acoustic album. Because like we could transfer it over, but it was pretty cool as is, because written acoustically, it's sonorous in its own sort of way, but still is like pretty heavy metal. So it's feeling good.
Yeah, it's like necessity truly is the mother of invention.
Yeah, I really enjoy that. I really enjoy like just going, okay, what's the best we can do with what we have now? Not what we will have later or what was had, but now.
Oh, I need to get that really nice notebook and nice pen so I can start writing my memoirs.
And before I have the notebook or pen, then I can't start writing it.
Right.
Let's see. What haven't we?
Road trips.
Road trips.
Huh?
Okay.
How about this concept?
Okay.
Once we have teleportation nailed, road trips will become a nostalgic pastime. Hey, let's drive, let's drive up to Vancouver from San Francisco.
Why? We could just teleport there.
Why would we do that? It's going to take days. Let's just teleport there. Be there in 5 seconds. So people will start, not to derail the whole thing. I want to talk about road trips too. But yeah, what happens to road trips once teleportation exists?
It's just for the few. It's like horse riding now.
Yeah.
You know?
Like kind of a throwback hobby.
Hey.
Driving.
Do you want to start a meetup to do a road trip?
Yeah.
Why?
I know somebody who has their driver's license.
Whoa.
What? Yeah. Or it would be like, it wouldn't even be driver's license. It would be like driving dispensation. Like they're one of the few people who's just allowed to drive.
Who like took the certification for no reason.
Yeah. Most other people just don't know how to do it.
Because you just kind of roll off of your Wally scooter to fall into your driverless Uber where you can eat food and fart loudly alone. No, wait, that's not.
Everything's automated.
Yeah. No, automation is not bad.
No.
By itself.
No.
But there are dark places.
Road trips. I enjoy road trips. I like driving.
Do you like driving in traffic?
Not for extended periods of time, but it's like another level in the video game, you know.
It's like if it was 10 minutes of your driving, but there was 30 minutes, 10 minutes of corners, 10 minutes of going fast. But 10 of those it's with traffic, it'd be like, whatever.
It's a challenge. It's just another, the variety is actually cool. I like the variety.
I would love to consume cannabis and then take my Camaro on a racetrack and drive it as fast as I could.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You'd want to take a lap, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Several, about 1,000 laps.
Yeah, that'd be very fun with the cones and no one else.
No one else. And the camera. That's like a dream. What's the longest road trip you've been on?
Longest road trip I've been on? I have to think. See, probably
cross country.
I mean, me driving or riding, or does it matter? Because sometimes it's been me like solo,
a group of people riding together for an extended period of time.
You know, it's probably I've not actually driven past. In a car like Burning Man, which is far away from here in northern Nevada, sort of, or to Oregon, down to...
It's the farthest you've gone?
Like, as far as I've gone in a car, either me driving or riding is down to L.A. and then Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like as far as me in a car, that's like the distance I've been.
So like Oregon, Vegas, LA. That triangle.
About a little bit of a stretch out, but yeah.
West Coast boy.
Yeah. Shit. But except for being a flight attendant.
Right.
Crisscrossed
the globe.
Right. Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah. I would take a longer road trip. I've gone on tour in a
jet
van.
Jet stream trips.
Yeah.
You've gone on a tour.
In a van.
Yeah. West Coast. That kind of counts as a road trip.
Yeah. Well, we started here and went down L.A. and then out to Vegas and then like through Bakersfield back to San Jose, San Francisco, Sacramento, up to... Washington and then Oregon and then, you know, like back down through Humboldt and Santa Cruz and then that's what we did. That was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What's the appeal of road trips? It's like a freedom element. We're setting off into the distance, you know.
There's something else too.
We're aiming for the horizon.
There's like a journey feeling.
Yeah. And it's not so much because arriving is almost a disappointment. Or not a disappointment, but anticlimactic.
Because the journey is really long.
Yeah, it's cliche, but it's all about the journey, not the destination. But yeah, I've driven cross country.
Ooh.
You know, from Boston to Santa Fe, or the reverse, actually. Santa Fe, New Mexico to Boston. And actually, as a kid, my parents drove from Golden, Colorado to Massachusetts. So I did like an eastward 2,000-mile road trip twice in my life.
Huh.
I love driving in the Midwest. It's so kick-ass.
Why? What's cool about it?
Well, the open roads. The 85-mile-an-hour speed limit. I'm thinking in between driving from Santa Fe to Colorado. Some of those roads, man, going through the desert, it's like a land out of time.
Because
you can see that there's no one else around. And what is it, 7 miles to the horizon? So you can see 7 miles in all directions. And there's nobody. And you're on one road, two lanes. No one's behind you. No one's in front of you. No one's coming the other way. There are no signs. It's just nothing except for desert. You know, desert kind of grassland, dirt land. Man, I don't know. That like really, really speaks to me.
Reminds me of driving up to Burning Man.
Yeah. I imagine it's the same kind of
similar
terrain.
Vibe, yeah.
Yeah. And at night in the desert, pulling over, turning off the car, no sounds, no lights, because there's nothing around. So there's no ambient light and there's no trees. I mean, it's amazing. So I think that's one of my best road trips.
What are some of the challenges of road trips? What's like the parts?
sweaty bums.
Mm-hmm.
Silence or music? Question mark.
Challenging music. Challenging, you know? Silence.
Well, yeah. Is it going to be? What are we going to want to listen to? Who wants to listen to it? Or do we want to listen to anything at all?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want silence or music? Something else?
It becomes like a tiny democracy, sort of, in that way. Because there's also like food and pee stops for, like, say it's three or four people. Like this little tiny democracy, often, if it's going well, where you can be like, hey, I got to pee. And then as long as you're not like, I got to pee every, there's no water in there. Every time I got to pee 30 minutes apart, right? Then you're like, okay, we got to do something else than stop every 30 minutes. When we were on tour, we peed in a jug and poured it out the window at freeway speeds. When no one was behind us, though, we wouldn't spray anybody. I mean, this is just getting evaporated. It basically as it leaves.
It's like a mister.
It's basically
the origin of the mister.
Yeah.
that makes sense. Car maintenance. Is that a challenge for road trips?
It often is. If you're not rich, maybe?
Oh, I have this theory.
Ooh, what's your theory?
The passenger, whoever's in the passenger seat tends to talk more. And if they're a taciturn person, they tend to be less taciturn. If they're shy, they tend to be less shy. Being in the passenger seat, somehow people are more talkative in the passenger seat.
Maybe it's because like you feel some sort of part of the leadership crew or something, because you have more power over the heater and decisions or something.
Something. I don't know why, but
you know, that's interesting.
That's my theory.
Interesting to notice.
That's my theory. Oh. I do it, and maybe it's because the driver is more distracted, or is concentrating more. But yeah, I don't know. I can't explain it, but it seems to bear out in my empirical evidence.
Do you have a preference over riding versus driving on road trips?
Driving.
You prefer to drive?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've ridden with you. You're a safe driver. I think have a sensitivity of other drivers. I think that I actually maybe am overreacting sometimes when I kind of flinch when people are drivers. And that doesn't happen when you're driving, because in my experience...
Oh, like you brace yourself?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But that doesn't happen when you're driving, because it's my experience that you drive in a very sort of like very median way, like not too fast, not too slow, just not too swervy, not too, weird. It's like, don't even notice it. So that's cool. It's a compliment.
Cool. Thank you. Maybe it's part of the whole, protein leader follower dynamic.
Hmm.
You know,
You
know what I'm talking about.
About sharing, trading back and forth, the sort of leadership role, decision making sort of,
yeah,
for the group.
And it's really trust, isn't it?
I think that's a major element. It's like practice and trust.
It's like, oh, I trust him to lead, or I trust myself to lead.
Yeah. And they're interchangeably just so back and forth all the time. It doesn't even matter.
It's almost like calling it leadership isn't accurate.
Yeah, but it is sort of, but it's so temporal and so short term. And traded and it's never held onto or let go of. It just is.
Right. It's never used politically.
Because I believe that there's no agenda beyond joy, experience, completion. I think those are the real agendas.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And then
I think we trust each other to pursue those agendas.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And sometime. We have lots of experience. Also, it's like we also practiced that. Maybe on our first trip, it was less so than it was on our seventh. I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know.
I can't tell either.
It seems like it was just always that way.
That's my thinking, too. That it just was like, oh, well, if Aubrey has like a strong idea, opinion, it's like, just go with it. He's probably got something. Mm. Okay, go.
Mm.
And then sometimes I'm like...
And vice versa, yeah.
This is it. We got to do this. And you're like, okay. And then we just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drove from Saratoga Springs, New York, down to Jupiter, Florida once.
Whoa.
In one go.
How many hours?
It was something like 12, more than 12. It's like 14 hours or something.
What were you going there for?
Well, it was technically spring break. So we went down there because a friend lived down there.
And there was some spring break action?
No, it was not like that.
You went
at all.
Down there for some spring break Florida.
We went to Florida for spring break, but it's not, I mean, that what images you conjure up in your mind, it wasn't like that at all.
Oh, okay.
It was a total drama filled kind of a nightmare.
Oh my gosh.
But we went to Disneyland and stuff. Or Epcot. That was cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. That trip was just insane. Because I wasn't driving my car. I was driving someone else's car. And they were in the passenger seat. And eventually they fell asleep. And I just had cruise control on like 90. And there was this tiny two-lane highway. Going the same direction. And it was just trucks. It was just me and a Ford Escort and trucks. Giant 18-wheeler trucks. And it just became this like Frogger video game of zooming past trucks at 100 miles an hour and then getting in the next lane, going past the next truck and just going. Just because I wanted to get there so bad, you know, I just was like, let's just end the trip. I just want to arrive. I don't want to be driving anymore. So yeah, even though I love driving, there are limits, you know?
Yeah. One time I drove my Camaro from here to my mom's place in Central Oregon.
Was that like 9 hours?
It was like 12.
Yeah.
Maybe 10.
Oh, that's right. With Rebecca.
Done it a few times, actually. Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
No, we flew there.
Oh, okay. Didn't you drive there?
I drove there one time with an ex person I was dating, Summer. But I also drove there other times. And it's like 10 or 12 hours one way on Highway 5. So it's like I'm in my Camaro, 2000 Z28. Just saying, 6B.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's cool.
And it still took you 12 hours.
Well, you can't really do what it can do because the police... Well, I don't want to get a ticket. So I'm like, I'm only doing, 130, 140.
It's kind of like, why have the car if you can't fully open it up, you know?
You can't... It's like, so there's little occasions where you do, but there's a lot of slowing in between.
Yeah.
So...
Little bursts.
There are little bursts of like 100 and stuff, you know, but it's... It's mostly, 79, because it's 70 miles an hour is the speed limit on Highway 5.
Right.
So your cruise control is at 79 going, I don't want a ticket.
Yeah.
There's no one in front of you, no one behind you. It's 110 degrees. Just golden grass as far as the eye can see.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. What does that thing get up to? Like 210?
No, probably like 160.
Yeah. Would you get another Camaro?
This is the second one I've owned. I owned a 1968 Camaro, and the one I have now is a 2000. Would I own another one? I mean, I suppose if it became logically feasible, doable, and...
What was the year of the first one?
1968.
Okay, so that's 32 years.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2032, you should get another one.
Well, if
every Saturn return, it's on its own Saturn return cycle.
If they still exist, if Chevrolet as a company exists in 2029, I'll be very surprised. I doubt one could still buy a car in the same way we do now at that point.
Right.
I bet it'll look very different.
Automated Camaro, like why bother?
Yeah. You just go in the hyperloop, dude.
Yeah.
You just whoop, 4,000 miles an hour.
Space elevator.
So you do that, and then in between there's like autonomous, hover cars and crap to go to little areas you want to go to. Maybe not hover. Maybe they're something else.
That'd be pretty cool. Hover platforms.
Well, what they have now is they just have you can get in the drone and it flies you around, and it's like... computerized. You don't even fly it. It's automated self-flying helicopter. And it can go anywhere, land anywhere, and like that's like probably gonna happen in a big way, I estimate.
just drones everywhere. Finally, dude, it's going to be.
When Uber has that drone, dude, what else could you compete with?
Uber has helicopters now. One of them does. Uber or Lyft. I think it's Uber.
Huh.
They have, they have helicopter. Helicopter Uber.
Why not?
Why not?
Ooh.
And yeah, eventually just drone, a drone basket. You know, just get in. Takes you where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
You just say where you want to go. I'll take him to Drew's house.
Yep.
Going to Drew's house.
Going to Drew's.
Cube.
Stays at, you know, doesn't fly too high.
Yeah.
So if you do fall, you don't get super hurt, but sometimes it has to fly high, you know.
There are a lot of redundancies. They do a lot of tests, you know.
Probably be a harness and all this garbage.
Well, the one they have now is all sealed in. You just step in, close the door.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's
a
just
pod.
Your, yeah, you have your own little habitat, and you can have your beverage or listen to the whatever. And
you can have a road trip with your friends and like just look over at them, and they're in their own pod, but they're perfectly neck and neck with you, and you're just...
Podding.
You're just droning above the highway. You look down, there's no cars on the highway.
And the drones... Because
it's the future, and no one's taking road trips.
Won't crash into each other. And they'll be
connected. I mean, they will, but not as frequently.
Not as frequently as we crash into each other in cars. And there'll be like parachute backups and stuff. It'll be cool.
Yeah, so, or there'll be airbag equivalents.
So yeah, whatever it needs.
So if it detects that you're falling at a certain rate, it knows your altitude, etc. So it deploys this airbag around you in a sphere. That's actually in a James Bond movie.
It's in a bunch of movies.
He has a shirt that he uses.
There's also like there's phone an variations.
There's an avalanche over him and the, you know, femme fatale. And he pulls the thing and it surrounds them both and saves them from the snow crushing them.
Demolition Man. He crashes the cop car and the security foam. So it's basically just tiny bubbles of that sprayed out, and then it has this consistency that's just safe. It's like a baby's
a great movie,
womb, right?
Yeah.
You just punch your way out of it and you're fine.
Like there is no driving in the future of road trips.
Mm-mm.
It's just automated.
Yeah. Because the act of actually piloting the vehicle is the least desirable act. I think if there was like a moderately sized, let's say motorhome, for example, that it was autonomously driven, and instead of there being a driver's seat, we use that space for other stuff or whatever, right?
Yes, and.
So we all get to engage in whatever activity we want to do as we're moving. We can look out the windows as we wish, at a chair if we wish, you know?
Yeah.
And the actual act of stepping on the gas and stepping on the brake, your brain is freed up to like maybe write music or maybe have... game.
Yes, and I would argue that the act of driving is integral to the whole road trip thing. It's actually an enjoyable process and may be necessary to define it as a road trip. I mean, otherwise you're just on a train. You're just on a train that's on the highway, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're in an automated Winnebago, You're just in a train car, essentially.
You're like in a private suite train car with your friends going somewhere cool.
Yeah, I mean it's great, but the whole thing about road trip is like, to me, I envision the road trip as having roles.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's you know, I'll drive for 8 hours and then we'll switch off.
So if the
in the kind of old school reckoning of road trips, I think. Driving is important. Maybe not.
It's like
maybe not in the new reckoning.
Is it like a sacrifice to the journey? Is it like something like that?
Sacrifice, responsibility. There's like a responsibility.
Yeah, there is. You are in charge of some safety.
Yeah.
For some people on a road trip. It's true.
Leadership, sacrifice. Yeah.
Yeah. There's okay. I agree.
Enjoyment too. I mean, it has its own unique enjoyment. The act of driving, you know. as does the act of being a passenger.
It's like, I enjoy driving for sure, but if I'm at hour three of the same chair and the same road in a straight line,
I'm with you.
I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to do that anymore. It's almost like it might be cool to be able to, maybe this is this cool solution, right? Empathy and imagination. What if there was a like semi-automated Winnebago that you drove when you wanted to?
Right.
And then when you're like, my butt hurts,
perfect,
you push the button.
Yep. That would be awesome. And that seems like a necessary phase for automated vehicles to really take, to really catch on. Is you need to kind of slowly cede control from human agents to automated agents, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's easy. That's a way to express it. There is a lot of that already, though, when you think about
totally
cars that have been parallel parking now themselves for years.
Yeah.
And you've got cruise control, and now there's like, that has extensions for certain traffic modes on a lot of new cars now. Like, it just does traffic for you, brake, stop.
It's pretty sick.
And so that's kind of happening. So it's like the real jump is like not looking out the front of the car, but instead entrusting the machine to do it. That's the real jump.
When like three people or four people or five people, let's say a captain, first officer, counselor,
engineer,
and operations.
Operations.
And security. That's right. It's usually Worf, Data, Riker, Troy, and or Crusher.
And then LaForge.
And then finally Picard and LaForge, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. To me, it's like that threshold is when there are five people in the back playing pinochle and none of them gives any thought to the hazards of driving. You know, it's as if we're just here doing our podcast, but we're in a train car and we're not thinking about, oh, is the conductor gonna crash? I don't know. To me, that's when the automated cars will really arrive. Is when people cease to think about it.
But the thing is like, I would argue that the safety stuff is so crazily different that if one was to like the crashing because of driving as a sacrifice element to the gods is like, when if it's automated, the crashings will be like down to 1% or so of how the crashings are now. It's like, well, then why are we sacrificing? You know, I'm like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to see where that all would go, because if five people are in the back of a car, automated car, playing poker, were they all going to have seatbelts on? And the guy who's facing, his back is to the front of the car, he has another weird seatbelt? I mean, how is that going to work, you know?
I think the cars of the future will have chairs just facing each other in them, like four or six, and it'll just go whatever way it goes, but it'll just be people facing each other.
Right.
If we're talking about present day California, the DMV and the federal government are going to go, you have to have seatbelts at first, at least. So there's probably going to be a bunch of cars that come out with seatbelts, and then further testing may reveal if it is true that they're pointless.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be the government. It's going to get bogged down in tons of bureaucracy.
Oh, totally. Well, they have to. I mean, they have to register the vehicles. And
they don't have to.
Well, maybe not, but they might get pulled over by the police for not being a registered vehicle on a road.
Yeah, yeah.
So what would be great is if we could make our own cars and just drive them on the streets, but you can't because that's illegal. What you can do is make your own roads and your own cars.
Probably good idea. I mean, that's probably good. Is that for the best?
I think any kind of thinking where you try to restrict creativity is not the best. I think anything that tries to pedander and speak to people as they are below some sort of authority is a failure from the start.
You're kind of libertarian.
Well, I would say nonviolent.
But that doesn't address hierarchies and regulation issues. Nonviolence.
Oh, well,
nonviolence doesn't say yes or
based.
Say yes or no, we should be regulated.
I would say then.
Neither does Zeitgeist, actually.
Well, I guess I could probably.
I guess they're more libertarian leaning. They say the government should stay out of it, and we'll figure out a way to do it.
It's not libertarian. It is not any ism. It borrows from many things.
Agreed. So yeah, it'll be the Federal Transportation Administration.
Yeah, that's what's gonna happen. I mean, it's still gonna be I think what'll probably happen is things like Uber will get automated cars, and then people won't buy them a bunch. Rich people will, but then mostly we won't, and we'll just have a phone. And you go beep, and then a car comes to wherever you are with nobody in it. And you get in and you go, I want to go here. And it goes beep. And then you go there.
Right.
And you get out and it charges your account. Not that much because no one's paid. Mm. It's just like, it's cheaper too. I think that's probably going to happen mostly first. Once it's legal.
I mean, I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. It'd be cool.
But road trips in there, I don't know. It's like, that's going to be a while away before it isn't logical for us to hop in your van.
It'll be a pastime.
Yeah.
Or like a hobby.
I bet that'll be like a hobby as far away as like 30 or 40 years. I think so. We'll still be doing it normally up until then.
Yeah.
It'll be weird to do it.
2050.
It'll be like weird to go on a road trip.
Yeah. It'll be like, why are you driving there?
Why don't you take the Hyperloop?
You know, because it's kind of fun to drive. Have you driven? No, I don't know how. It won't be a big thing to not know how to drive.
Well, I mean, it's funny too.
That whole taboo will be reversed, or that whole stigma will be reversed.
If you speak of it like as a lineage of dangerous things people do, it's like not a lot of people know how to mine either. But so many people died from mining. Right. You know what I mean? So it's like it's kind of a lineage of.
And once automated cars make driving safer, humans will come up with another way to do something crazy and dangerous.
Yes. Know? And then we'll try to automate that.
Fucking, I hope so. Shit.
Like jumping off of stuff.
That's what keeps us going. That's like.
We need new helmet companies every year.
New ways to shoot yourself into a brick wall. Did you have to call it by 8:30?
Yeah. 9:17. Yeah. You know, let's call a good one. Funny riff. Can you do a funny riff?
It's a little harder. There we go. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. There you go.